Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
We're back here for hour two, and if the second hour of the show is as good as our discussion the last 5 minutes in the studio, it's going to be a good ride for you here until 6 o'clock. Kelly in Vegas is on at 5:40. You Can't Be Serious at 5:50, as always. Next segment, I've actually got some great Jeff Mitty audio that I know is a few days old now, but I wanted to make a point here on how much I loved what Jeff Mitty had to say after K-State's season-ending loss to Stanford. But here in the open, and by the way, to chat with us, 537-1350, you can tweet us, as always, at the Game KMAN if you have questions or comments. I was going to lead with what the initiation should be into Cole DeFrank, but Cole must be like parenting or something. I don't know. I have not.
He hasn't responded?
I have not heard back. Oh. So as soon as I do, I will let you know.
Okay.
But look, basketball-wise, if you missed the conversation in the first hour, was sobering to me to see how far K-State was from Cincinnati and that Cincinnati was not even a second weekend tournament team. You know, I think the questions you have to ask are, is this program capable of getting back to that level? Is the culmination of a 3 or 4 year run going to be a team that can get to the second weekend of the tournament, or is it going to be getting into the NCAA tournament and winning a game in the first four and getting bounced in the round of 64? I think these are tough questions that we have to ask ourselves. But the other thing that's happening right now, and like it or not, you can't just put fingers in the ears and ignore it. There are three K-State connections in the Sweet 16, three former coaches in the Sweet 16. This has happened basically every year now. K-State is on the outside looking in here in the tournament picture and watching former lovers have the success, former coaches have the success. And whether you want to dismiss that and say, who cares, we got to move forward, hey, I agree with you on that. K-State's got to move forward at some point here. But as a fan, you have every right to be frustrated with the fact that, as I described, I feel like the basketball program right now is just in this weird almost, like a purgatory. I mean, you could do much worse if you take the risk. But what you have right now seems to be pretty average as far as Power 5 goes, and it's just not nearly as exciting. It doesn't have the pizzazz that the program used to have. So you're in a very difficult and weird spot right now. You're also watching your former coach who got run off here, Frank Martin, in the Sweet 16. You are also watching Bob Huggins, who did up and leave after 1 year in the Sweet 16 for the fourth time, by the way, with West Virginia since he left. Frank Martin took South Carolina to their first ever Sweet 16. The Dana Altman thing, I mean, we've discussed it. Like, I don't think K-State did anything wrong there. But it's just another cherry on top that Dana Altman is there with Oregon once again. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, you have, to me, the most shocking, like, K-State-related sports news I've seen in a long time. Brad Underwood going to Illinois all of a sudden. Let you know that he was available. If things were in order, if K-State's house were in order, which it's not, right now, because there's not an athletic director in place. And look, I understand these things take time. You got to think about more than just a basketball hire with what you're doing for this AD hire. Not saying anything here is right or wrong, but just from a fan's perspective, Brad Underwood was available if you were willing to front the money and had your house in order at this point in time to go try and make that move. Now he's got a bigger buyout. He's at Illinois. We're going to talk more about this later, but that ship has sailed, man. You need to give up on Brad Underwood. Unless you're talking 5 to 10 years down the road. You can't look at all that and say, K-State fan, you should just be happy and content with what you have and not be frustrated at all and just move forward and toe the company line. No way. That we're humans, okay? This is it's not great. It doesn't feel great. And it's the third year in a row, really, where there have been major ties to K-State, moving on further in the tournament, doing big things on a national scene. And you just have to continue to watch that. That does not make things easy. And I don't like, it seems like a lot of people are really frustrated, and I don't like to see any kind of lashing back at that. People deserve to be frustrated right now. They have every right to be frustrated with where things are at.
And I'm actually going to add to your list a little bit, because you just mentioned the three former K-State coaches that are in the Sweet 16 plus Underwood. I think that that's about 80% of it. But here's another 20% that I would add on to that. You've got Lon Kruger at Oklahoma that did just have a terrible year, but just signed one of the top recruits in the country. You know they know you know that they're going to bounce back because their roster was extremely young this year.
By the way, Trey Young, who you're referencing, very good friends with Michael Porter, who is the number one player in the class, who's now reopened his recruitment. Oklahoma, one of three schools he's considering. I'm just putting it out there.
Be at Mizzou. He'll be at Mizzou, but I know what you're saying. So you've got that in there. I think you could throw in just a little sprinkle of the fact that Tim Jankovic had SMU really, really good this year with Shemi Ojeleye, a Kansas kid of all people.
And Victor Ojeleye's brother. I mean, yeah.
And, oh, yeah, and I don't know how much or how important this is to you, but I think that some K-State fans, this starts to get old. Kansas is relevant right now. Wichita State is relevant right now. And you're the one school in the state that that really is not in terms of a really high-level basketball. You are the one that's on the outside looking in. If you take those factors and add them on to what you just said about the three former coaches in the Sweet 16 plus the Underwood news, yeah, you're going to be a little bit you're going to be, you know, gritting your teeth a little bit about everything that's happening in college basketball around the world of K-State.
I'm very glad you brought up the Wichita State-Kansas thing because that is another harsh reality here. And I think, you know, in some ways what I always find is – in talking with friends and family who are back in Kansas City, like it matters more to them that Kansas is still in the tournament. I mean, look, I live in Manhattan. It's somewhat of a bubble here. Like you don't have to deal with nearly as much of the Kansas fan stuff. So when I was growing up in Kansas City, this time of year was hell. I mean, you know, Kansas was the worst. It was awful.
Unless when they were playing, you know, Bucknell or Bradley.
Yeah. Right. But you're living for that. So that's probably more of a factor to fans elsewhere in the state, but it's totally true, man. You're a third fiddle, and it ain't close. And that's a harsh reality right now. I'm not saying there are great solutions. This is the tough part. Like, it's almost it would almost be easier if there were great slam dunk solutions out there right now that you could say, this is clearly what needs to happen, and you need to go bang, 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 and that is how you make things better. I don't really think that exists right now after Brad Underwood has now moved on, and you didn't have your house in order to go make that move. There are no moves right now that just solve it. You're stuck in a weird place, and it's probably going to be like that for the foreseeable future. My point with all that is that's almost more maddening and more frustrating than having some clear move that is not actually, you know, being carried out.
I could actually probably throw in one more because Wichita State is on the outside looking in terms of Kansas City. But Missouri is not, and I think that they overpaid for a fairly average coach, but they have buzz now.
They're exciting.
And they have Michael Porter that I think is probably going to be going there now. And you could probably add that in there because I think that because of the hatred of KU, K-State and Mizzou have always had that connection where they're going to compare themselves to each other, especially in basketball, because that's what KU is good at. And Mizzou has been awful the last few years, but who's going to win more games over the next five seasons, Mizzou or K-State? Just because Mizzou plays in an easier conference, you may be able to make a case there, and I really can't believe that I'm even saying that.
But yeah, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I'm not sure that I'm going to entertain that. I'd have to really think about, you know, which one I would pick over the next 5 years, whatever. But your point taken. Yeah, like regionally, even now, regionally. And I said it when Missouri made that hire, and we were finding out that Michael Porter may actually be a legit possibility now there, and Kwanzo can go recruit St. Louis and Chicago, whatever it is, regionally for Mizzou. Like, yeah, they're excited, man. Things are exciting. Even if you are out there, and I understand a lot of people saying, look, we could be doing much worse here. We made it to the tournament. Things are okay. Do you feel like there's a ton of excitement? How much excitement do you feel around it right now? There is not a whole lot.
Let me play devil's advocate here for just a second because I do think that it's worth making the case that if K-State is able to find a really high-level, you know, graduate transfer or something like that, a guy that has played well in a bona fide place, that does add a little bit of excitement because I think that the core is there for K-State to be a pretty good basketball team with Dean Wade, Xavier Sneed, Kamau Stokes, and Barry Brown. Those are solid players. The question is, can K-State bring in enough to actually make that a tournament team next year? If that transfer is a transfer from a, and I'm just throwing out schools, but a Louisville or a Florida State or something like that instead of a, you know, community college transfer or an Oregon State or something like that, then maybe that's something to get excited about. But again, not a whole lot in the context of how much people are talking about Kansas, Wichita State, Missouri, Illinois, Oklahoma State, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, to play off that, and I'll go down this road, I think your point is fair. There would be more excitement if you do get excited about a single player, but there's not as much. And don't take this from me to say Bruce Weber can't recruit. I have stuck up for him multiple times. I think he's a better recruiter than people give him credit for. And maybe just a better talent evaluator is a more correct way of phrasing that than people would give him credit for. But there's not like any kind of real history that would lead you to believe, all right, they're going to go out and land some real stud. I mean, they're really going to go get it in the recruiting game here. And that, to me, is just underscores part of what the bigger problem is here, that there's just not a lot of faith, I don't think, that the program is going to ascend to where we all want it to be. And some of that does have to do with just buzz, and some of it does have to do with tangible things that can actually happen. There's not a history of bringing in real great, exciting recruits, even if it's transfers. You know, I hate to do this comparison. Some people may shut the radio off, whatever, but Frank Martin played the transfer market and got Curtis Kelly and Denny Clemente. I mean, there's reason to believe if Frank Martin's your head coach, he can go play that market and get you high-level college basketball players. There is reason to believe he can take you to the second weekend because he did. So, ultimately, was Frank Martin winning at a clip that was unbelievably higher than what Bruce Weber is? No. I think we overinflate what Frank Martin did winning-wise somewhat just because of how damn exciting he was and how he was a brand and he got you attention on a national scene, which therefore not only gives you the attention, but it gives you this idea that, like, look, we can be a big brand. We can be a competitor. We belong on this big scene. There is a high ceiling here. When you don't have that kind of excitement going along with it, it makes it harder to read. It just brings you down another notch. We inflate a guy who is a brand as opposed to a guy who is not nearly as much of a brand, and it just makes you feel less optimistic about the ceiling, the upside about everything. And I think there are tangible parts that play into that, and there are intangible parts.
I certainly agree, and I saw a couple of arguments on social media in the last couple of days that, well, Frank Martin only won like 8% more games than Bruce Weber's winning percentage. It was like 68-60 or something like that, what Frank Martin was at K-State and what Bruce Weber is now. And yeah, you could say that that's pretty small, 68%-60%, but let's look at baseball. Someone that's hitting 305 versus someone that's hitting 280. Look at the difference there. They're getting a hit in maybe one more at bat over the course of a week, but that makes them an all-star versus an average player. Sometimes the percentages actually do not tell the entire story, and I think that's valid here.
This goes back to our discussion at 410. To me, much bigger than that, and I get what you're saying. I appreciate it. The tail of the tape is 6-0/1, maybe. I'll say 0.5. 6-0.5. Tournament wins. I'm giving a half for a play-in game there.
I'll give one, but 6-1 doesn't make it that much better.
I mean, look, we could argue about that for days. I don't necessarily love that in this comparison. I'm not saying it doesn't totally count as a tournament win, but in this comparison, Frank Martin won six games in a round of, how about this, 6-0. Frank Martin wins in the round of 64 or beyond in the NCAA tournament to Bruce Weber wins in the round of 64 or beyond in the NCAA tournament at K-State. And again, you may disagree, like Larry earlier, who said he had more fun with the Big 12 championship tying run in 2013 than he did watching the team go to the Elite Eight in 2010. But I think you put the truth serum in most people, you put the gun to most people's head, which one was more fun? I mean, it's a slam dunk. Winning in March is more fun. Winning in March is how coaches are measured, and that is another part of the whole. You believe more in the upside. You believe more in where this thing could be going.
I agree, but as one final point to play devil's advocate a little bit, I'll ask you about this. Some of the reason that you had a lot more fun with that Elite Eight team than with the championship team was because of where you were in your life then versus where you were for the championship team, right? You
know, maybe I was a student, but I was also really cutting my teeth reporting, like covering the team. I was there three times a week, whether it's a game or the midweek stuff, reporting on that Big 12 championship team also.
But, I mean, for the championship team, you said quite often that, you know, whose players are winning these games right now? Frank Martin's players. I mean, you just had different opinions of who the coaches were at the time.
No, I mean, you're right. Yeah, I look, there is some truth to that. And, again, it goes back to a guy who's a brand, a personality, and it's easier to just buy in and be totally engrossed by all of it. It is easier to do that. Admittedly, it is, yes. But I still think overall here, there's a difference in the way you perceive where things are going. And that is a problem that K-State basketball is facing right now. It is that you don't have the brand, you don't have the personality, you don't have the excitement. And not only that, one of the worst things in life, one of the things that people always say, one of the worst traits you can have, jealousy. Not only are you dealing with it internally in your own house, but you're dealing with Kansas super relevant. You're dealing with Wichita State being extremely relevant. You're dealing with, yes, like you said, Missouri having a new coach. And you're dealing with all your ex-lovers succeeding wildly everywhere else. And you got to watch it in the Sweet 16. And you got three of them that you can watch coming up in the Sweet 16 over the next 4 days. That ain't easy, man. Who likes watching their ex excel? Like, is that really fun for anybody, having to watch it broadcasted, watch your ex live a great life without you? Like, it's easy to see. Nobody likes it. And it's fair for you to be as frustrated as you want to be, in my humble opinion.
Can we just switch things up and spend the next 40 minutes talking about Frank's pants instead of anything else?
Man, stop. I just said it's all painful to try and relive all this
stuff.
Oh,
no, that's good
news.
You're killing me. No, Frank's...
I like it.
Those pants need...
I like it.
They need to die. They cannot... Those cannot see the light of day ever again.
You can't be serious at 550. Kelly in Vegas at 540 on if she likes Frank, betting-wise, in the tournament. When we come back, though, Jeff Mitty is a stud, man. I love the audio and what he had to say after K-State's tournament loss to Stanford. Plus, shocker, me and Tyler disagree slightly on Brad Underwood going to Illinois. That's coming up here on the game.